Welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday. Again, I'm in Adam Frederick's office. Pastor Adam, Grace Family Church, Newtown, Connecticut. I've been coming to this church since he was actually a young man, and here with his parents, Pastor Barry and Pastor Sheila Fredericks, just super sweet, awesome people. And I've been coming for so long, you know, I know half their church and they know me. And I think I've run out two or three times, run out of things to say, just kind of going back over some of my old notes. And obviously we're just staying fresh and current for what God has for them in every single service, but it's just been a wonderful relationship. So here I am again, sharing with you and going to keep watch on our time again, but God is just doing some wonderful things. And I want you to be a part of this Adventures in Grace. What is this? Well, it's teaching that's just anywhere from 12 to 15 minutes, more like 15 minutes, where we're just sharing little tidbits of thought that you can really grab a hold of and understand and immediately begin to implement about how to hunger for God to be real in your life and how to actually acknowledge his influence and then really begin to have experiences of God everywhere. I want to share with you that the smallest and little innuendos of experiences or the coincidences of life where you feel like you've had a lucky day, that those experiences of God are no different than a cancer disappearing or someone getting out of a wheelchair or a blind eye seeing. You see, we're the ones that make a particular crisis a mountain. If Jesus was the one that came to deliver us from all the mountains, then maybe the reason why he said a speck of faith is all you need to get rid of a mountain is because Jesus was the mountain remover, and all you need is just a tiny little bit to experience that Jesus has already removed your mountains. That maybe what we think is a mountain isn't really a mountain at all. Maybe what we think is the cancer really isn't the right diagnosis. And if it were the right diagnosis, if it's already been defeated by Jesus, maybe it's not that big of a deal to have it just disappear. If it could come, then I guess it could go. And if it could go, then that's what I put my bet on. And if I'm involved by believing that it will because Jesus gives me the victory, then how could it stay? Come on, take that little bit of reasoning that's a spiritual reasoning, and all of a sudden you realize, wow, that's not that difficult. It was never supposed to be, everyone. It was always supposed to be very simple and very real. Well, I'm going to give you the invitation from Jesus again. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 27 to 30. And it says, Jesus now resumed talking, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique father and son operation coming out of father and son intimacies. No one knows the Father the way the Son does, nor the Son the way the Father does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Aren't you thankful that Jesus wants us to actually experience God like he did? He's not keeping it to himself like he's the only one. No, he came on purpose for us to be a demonstration and an example of what it looks like when a man has a relationship with God, what kind of experiences you're supposed to look forward to. He went on to say, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? And all of us should say, yes, we are. He went on to say, then come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Well, I'm not going to stop giving that little brief synopsis of three scriptures from the Message Bible. Because those three scriptures, you should probably learn them or meditate on them or memorize them yourself. Those verses of scripture are your hope for the reason why we're doing these videos, that you might begin to experience the Lord. He is so good. Well, I told you I was going to share an amazing verse of scripture from the FD translation. Amen. I know I've got a bunch of these translations, and I certainly want you to be able to get in on these. I'm going to go right now to the King James version of chapter 4 and verse 24 and 25. And it's talking about Jesus and said, for when we believe and embrace the one who brought our Lord Jesus back to life, perfect righteousness will be credited to our account as well. Jesus was handed over to be crucified. This is actually the Passion Translation. Crucified for the forgiveness of our sins and was raised back to life to prove that he had made us right with God. Do you know why that's so good? He was handed over for our sin, but he didn't come out of the grave until we were all justified or declared righteous. Listen to the FD translation. You're going to love this. It says, when we acknowledge God as the awesome power who restored life to Jesus, we recognize he made his son our stand-in agent. As our stand-in, he paid the death penalty due us by law for our crimes. So he paid the penalty for our crimes, our misdeeds. And there's not one person in this earth that hasn't had misdeeds. We were born into sin. We need to be born out of sin into God. That's what being born again means over in John chapter 3 and verse 3. You must be born again. What does it mean? You need to be refathered from above, one translation said. God, through Jesus, will come to change your very nature into the nature of God, where the most normal, natural, simple thing of life would be to know your Heavenly Father, to hear his voice, to have influence and experience with him, and to enjoy the blessings of God in your life right down here as a member of his family, a child of God. It goes on to say, as our agent, he was restored to life, making us as accepted as though we were as deserving as Jesus. That is the vital principle. The vital principle is that God so thoroughly removed your sin from your life, past, present, and future, that if you would receive what Jesus did for you, just say, Jesus, I'd like to have that A+ that you had in life put on my account. I'd like to have everything on my account wiped right off it. I believe that's what you did for me. I'm going to receive that right now into my heart. When you receive him and call on him as Lord, he comes in and then makes what Jesus did become a reality to your life. Everything in your heart that was sinful is completely gone. He changes the composition of your nature until you literally have a divine nature from God himself, the very life of God imparted into your spirit, where you are now more like God than you were like you. Now, some may look at that and scoff a little bit, but you just got to hold on and look at the scriptures and see that what God was endeavoring to do is not just get you to heaven, not just get you out of hell. He was endeavoring to remake you into a carbon copy of Jesus Christ until you were flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone and heart of his heart and soul of his soul. Praise the Lord. Until you were walking just like Jesus in the earth. That's what, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the devil never would have crucified the Lord of glory if he knew what he was doing. If he knew the potential was that anyone that received what Jesus did would become just like him and just as powerful, able to do everything that Jesus did on the earth and manifest God's power and fragrance and no longer buy into his lies and live in his curse. He never would have crucified Jesus if he knew that was the potential. So now that he found out, what he wants to do is just keep us ignorant so we don't know that that's how far we can go. So he wants us to be religious, where we feel like we're just dogs and we're just worms and we're just wretches. And oh, we're just such lowly human beings, just asking Jesus to please help us for our day. Please, Lord God, help us with no answered prayers, with no real hope. That's what the devil wants for you. But I'm here to give you the truth so you can rise up, praise the Lord, and take some authority and be accountable to the decisions you make that Jesus is Lord and you have every right to experience him fully. Wow, that's pretty good. Psalm 103, David said it really well. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who does what? Who forgives all your sins and heals all your sicknesses or your diseases. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Satisfies your mouth with good things and renews your youth as the eagles. Man, I'm telling you, the benefits and blessings of God are well beyond what we've been experiencing. And folks, it's my intention to experience it all because it's God's intention that we do so as well. I love this over in Romans chapter 4, verse 7 and 8 in the Knox translation. It says, David pronounces his blessing on the man whom God accepts without any mention of observances. Let's go a little further. Blessed are those who have all their faults forgiven, all their transgressions buried away. Blessed is the man who is not a sinner in the Lord's reckoning. Woo-hoo-hoo. Did you hear that? That translation just makes it so clear that David foresaw the day where man would not be judged according to sin because Jesus would come and take all the judgment of sin on your behalf and literally clear your account where you would no longer be under the burden of sin. In so much that God himself, seeing what Jesus had thoroughly and completely done, would then look at you as though you've never even been a sinner. What kind of blessings can flow into the life of a man who is right with God? Well, folks, look at in the old covenant, they didn't have that and everybody was striving for it. But in the new covenant, we've been blessed to be alive in the dispensation of God's grace, where his handiwork has provided all things for us at the dispense of Jesus and his precious shed blood. God now looks at you as though you've never been a sinner and you ought to want to jump up and shout and run. And I can't because I got to keep looking at this video. Come on, everybody. The Lord is awesome. This is the kind of doctrine that gives you the reason to believe that I can experience God in my life and I should be experiencing him every single day. I trust you're getting this and I believe you are. Let's go a little further. This is really, really cool here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 in the LSC translation. I bet you don't know what that is. It says, the Father took the Son, who never had any evil in him, and laid the evil of the universe on him. What are we proving right now? Some people just don't want to let Jesus take all our sin. Can you believe it? If you had a choice of Jesus taking it all, past, present, and future, or him just taking a little bit of it, like your past and right up to this moment today. But then after that, boy, I tell you what, every sin you got in your life, you better repent and you better ask forgiveness of it, because if you don't, you're going to go to hell. You know, the reason why we come to God to acknowledge what we've done wrong and our heart condemns us is so that we can continue to see how much God loves us and continue to run back to the only hope of never going back to sin, and that is to spend time in the presence of our Lord and Savior. It's not so that we can wallow in our sin and feel like sinners and sing songs about being wretches and little worms and feel so incomplete. I'm telling you what God did in Christ completed you. You are complete in him, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. So the fact that he took all of our sin is so that we will never be without the perfect fellowship of hanging out with Jesus. I am telling you, you can try for the rest of your life to perfect your life and only get about a smidgen better than you've done thus far. Or you can let Jesus do all of it while you're hanging out with him. Do you realize a relationship with God is the experience of being one with your Father and being able to hear his voice and recognize his presence and walk with him so that you know what he's doing, he knows what you're doing, he's working with you, helping you, blessing you, and your life is so wonderfully blessed that it's the goodness of God that causes your heart to stay open to the Lord, changing everything about you. God can make changes in you in a heartbeat that you can't make yourself in a lifetime. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. I'm telling you, this is so good. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, in the Amplified, it says, it was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself, not counting up or holding their trespasses, but canceling them and committing to us the message of reconciliation of the restoration to favor. Why was God canceling them, not counting them up or holding our trespasses against us? Because Jesus wiped them out. The real message to the world is not, you dirty sinners, turn or burn. Go to hell or go to heaven. The wonderful message is the good news, which is Jesus has canceled everybody's sin. He wants a relationship with you. If you'll accept what he did on the cross, you can invite him to come in your life, and he will bring such change into your heart and to your life and such blessing to your life that you will actually be in love with him forever, because he's such a good God. Come on, that's the message, that we can hang out with him. That's Christianity. It's not fire insurance to keep you from going to hell. And it's not just the selfish message of just getting you to heaven while someone else goes to hell. It's the life lived in the presence of the Lord. The interchange of God living in you and you living in God until you begin to experience what was the original purpose, where God would walk with man. And you would hang out like buddies, and you would literally have the greatest friend for life. Wow. This is really, really good. And we've even got a bunch more here as I'm looking at some of our material, but we're right there again at the point of being out of time. So I just love it when the Lord just does things where he just moves and manifests himself while things are happening in our lives that we might not even recognize. So I'm preaching the service last night, and there's a dear lady that has had such horrible pain in her wrists, in the carpal metatarsal area of the wrists and all. I'm not saying it probably correct, but you know what I'm talking about, the carpal tunnel area. And she's had such horrible pain, works 10 to 12 hour days. She said on bad days, she literally cries, tears coming down her face with the pain that she's trying to endure just to be able to type and write some things up and do things with her hands. She said while she was enjoying the service last night and just getting so blessed with the message that was given, she said right in the middle of it, the Holy Ghost said, he's going to call on your about your wrist. He's going to call you out. She said it wasn't just but a couple of minutes later, I stopped the service and I turned and I said, somebody's wrist. And I began to make the motion that she couldn't make without severe pain. And I called those wrists out. She said immediately, I put my right hand up to claim that. When I did, all the pain disappeared in my right hand. You came over to me and you put your hand out, and then I grabbed you with my left hand. And the moment that I did, there was no pain in my left hand. I went and grabbed you with my right hand. There was no pain in my right hand. She said, I've been completely and totally delivered right there and right then. Isn't the wonderful part of that story, not only that she experienced the love of Jesus to heal her, but isn't the wonderful part of that story that she was tuned into the Holy Ghost and she could know within her own heart that she was actually going to have that experience before it even occurred? It's kind of like, and I know this is a little interesting story, but I'll make this really quick. It's kind of like going to the airport the other day. Did I not know Aaron went through, you know, the security area, because we have TSA, so we don't have to take our shoes off and go through, you know, lifting up your hands like that. She went through, and I stand there, and the next thing I know, I hear on the inside, you're going to be one of the random ones that's going to have to be patted down and go through the machine. Sure enough, I went to walk through. Oh no, you've been selected. The thing went off. Beep, beep, beep. You've been selected randomly to go through. And it's like, yeah, I knew that. Well, isn't it interesting that our spirit knows things? Well, I trust that what you're getting here will bring you back next week to hear some more of this, because the Lord is just too good, and we're on our way to constantly experiencing God everywhere. And if you can experience him anywhere, then you can be sure you can experience everywhere. Go, if you will, to Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page and follow us, or go to the Adventures in Grace YouTube channel to subscribe. By all means, as we're encouraging you, make sure you go to jhmi@jimhockaday.com, our email address, and let us know your stories. And if you want to hear that again, you can go simply to jimhockaday.com, to our website. We'll see you next week.